Hi there, I'm Mark Isero, and welcome back to Article Club, where we read and discuss the very best articles on race, education, and culture. It's March, and this month we're diving into a story by Jonathan Escoffery called Influx. It's the first piece of fiction that we've ever focused on, and I'm excited to discuss it with you all. It's from Mr. Escoffery's award-winning book, If I Survive You, but it was first published in the journal Passages North. Influx is a short story about race, identity, and belonging. Mr. Escoffery's main character, Trelawney, struggles to figure out how best to fit in as the people he comes into contact with incessantly ask him the question, "What are you?" and are never satisfied with his answer. It was an honor to interview Mr. Escoffery last week alongside fellow Article Clubber Sarai Bordeaux. We discussed a number of topics, including the shame the main character feels, the use of the second-person point of view, and the messiness of identity, especially given our society's disdain for nuance and complexity. Here's our interview. Hope you enjoy it. Jonathan Escoffery, thank you so much for being on Article Club.
Thanks for the invitation. I'm happy to be with you today.
So excited to talk to you. You got me and Sarai here ready with some questions about your piece Influx. It comes from your book, If I Survive You. We totally loved it. We want to get into it. And I've got the first question, and it's about how you start your piece with the protagonist being a young kid, 7, 8, 9 years old, and right from the beginning being asked this question, what are you? And specifically at the beginning, it was, what language is your mother speaking? And as a reader, I just felt shame right from the beginning. And in the piece, you talk about the shame right from the beginning that the main character is getting from the neighborhood kids. Can you talk a little bit more about the shame that you were trying to capture and sort of what was going on in the main character and sort of how you want the reader to feel?
Yeah, I mean, the book and the story in particular, which is the beginning, starts with disorientation. Maybe the reader is disoriented and wondering, you know, what is the source of this question? For the character, Trelawney, he is going from this pivot from thinking he's, you know, quote unquote normal, you know, he's just like everyone else. He, in a sense, he's this indoctrinated American patriotic kid up until this moment where people are saying, hey, actually, something's different with you. And the first time he's picking this up, or at least he's for the first time able to, in a sense, articulate what is being pointed out as different is his mother, the way his mother speaks, essentially, her accents. He knows his parents are Jamaican. That's not really a surprise to him, but it's the first time, you know, someone is calling out the way that she speaks and calling it out in, you know, clearly a kind of negative way. And so he feels this kind of shame because, one, he's already in school. He's already gotten this message that, you know, America is the greatest, you know, this in quotations, the greatest country on earth. The implication meaning, you know, if you're coming from a different place, you're kind of lesser than. And, you know, he's trying to figure out, what do I do with that information as somebody who, you know, wants to be a proud American, but also wants to be proud as a human being, wants to be proud of his family, his parents, and especially his mother. And so there's this kind of sorting out of what to do with the question itself. Aspects of his being are within his control. These aren't changeable things. He can't change where he was born. He can't change where his parents are from. But what he can do is try to understand this phenomenon of being asked, what are you and why does your mother talk so funny?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So kind of speaking to that disorientation, putting the story in the second person, I think really helps to achieve that. Like for the reader, in my opinion, it really kind of helps to be like, oh, wait, what? Like, and this like sorting out that the character goes through throughout the story and throughout the different instances that we find the character in. I feel like the second person perspective is really, really important to that. What would you mind saying more, a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think a couple things. I mean, in one sense, there's this splitting of the self that's happening because our narrator is trying to find safety in a sense. That's his version of fitting in. And so he's trying to figure out, well, if I can understand how to answer this question, what are you? And all of the sub questions or the implications behind the question, then maybe he can make himself safe. And the only way he feels that he can do that, especially in his younger years before he really has much agency, is to see himself through the eyes of other people. And so there's this kind of split of the self. And I thought that,
you know, using the second person, which is also, you know, in a sense, it's Trelawney's older self talking to, you know, the younger self who's kind of going through it in those moments. You know, I felt like it was kind of like part of the form fitting the content in a sense.
Yeah, for me, it was an immediacy. It was making sure that I was in the story with the main character in a way that I felt was both extremely effective as well as, I would say, relentless in some ways, especially because the main character never finds relief, even though he is trying to belong, fit in, whatever. He's rarely successful. And even if he is successful, it is dependent on whether other people are satisfied, whether they accept. And so for me, especially as a white reader, it's sort of like, not just did I get sort of right next to the main character, but it caused in me sort of like just this anxiety and lots of various feelings throughout. I am wondering some of the choices that you made. Can you say more about that?
Yeah. You know, oftentimes I write across genres, but I do kind of see myself as a fiction writer. I wanted to follow this particular line of inquiry in regard to identity and, you know, these questions that Trelawney's being asked very closely and mapping it over his kind of educational journey, which is one that I think most readers will recognize some version of anyway. And, you know, had this been a year in Trelawney's life, I don't think he would be asked this question, sure, but it wouldn't have that relentless feeling. I wanted to show, like, what's a lifetime of this? Like, we don't follow him to old age by any means, but, you know, 3 decades of having this question asked and thrown at him and demanded, and people want, like, not just an immediate answer, regardless of the context, regardless of what other things Trelawney has going on in his life, but they demand something immediate and they demand it to be a kind of right answer that maybe they have in mind, but he seems to continually land on the wrong answer for people based on their assumptions of who it is that they're looking at, or maybe, you know, to say crassly, what it is that they're looking at. And I wanted to show that the intensity of that when you add it up over years. I wanted, you know, sometimes I'm asked the question, like, what did you want readers to take away? And it's like, I don't have this one answer, you know, agenda in writing something like this, but it's like, if anything, I want people to feel a bit of the experience of that, you know, experiencing that over, you know, decades of your life, and how that might shape you, especially if you're, you know, a sensitive person, and not even just a sensitive person, but like a thinking person. Trelawney is, he's observant, and he does get a little bit bogged down. And in a sense, he internalizes this inability of people to characterize him, and then feels this need to label himself in ways that, you know, maybe a different kind of character wouldn't. I wanted to show the way that we do sometimes internalize problematic things and questions and viewpoints. And then if society agrees on something that doesn't necessarily fit like you or your lived experience, it could be a difficult thing to battle.
Mark was speaking to the anxiety that one could feel even reading this experience, and speaking to a Black woman's experience, looking at this and being like, oh my gosh, you just figured out one thing. Now here we go, another thing. It's constant. And the second person really helps to kind of make it deeper than that. Like, you, okay, no, we really are side by side with this character who's going through something that's so relentless. And there's a part in the writing that speaks about how you're quite aware that some folks are supposed to be perpetuators of atrocities. Some folks are supposed to be victims of atrocities, but you're not quite sure what to do with descendants of both. And I feel like that is one of the mid most relentless points that the story comes to, is that this character is like, oh my God, like, here we go. And now nobody understands. And here I am. So could you speak to that a little bit? Like, and the importance of having us see the character in school.
I grew up in Florida. It's very easy to recognize that there's just, like, it's a broken educational system, to, you know, be very mild about it. Some people are not going to like that I say this, but it's like, we often talk about, like, let's call on the ancestors when we go through these difficult times. And I'm always like, what if the wrong ancestors show up? Because part of the economy, and this is in the Caribbean context, this is in the North American and the South American context, like, part of the economy of these countries was built on and expanded through rape and through having, you know, children who could become your property. I don't want to say that that's what this, like, these mixed ancestries boil down to. I just wanted to complicate, I suppose, this just idea, because we always in this country, even now, kind of talk about race as though there are only kind of black and white people still, which obviously leaves out so many populations. But even if we're just talking about black people and white people in this country, we're still talking about it in such unnuanced ways that it's easier to have a conversation if we're going to leave out all the nuance. But if you're going to write a book about it, it felt very fake to me to try to create a character who was just going to say, well, I'm just black. And now I'll move through the world, I don't know, trying to get a job and an education. Just especially coming from a place like Miami, where a lot of people like me who look like me in Miami, who would tell you that they're, even today, that they're not black. I think it's especially, you know, that black American side of me that chafes at that. It's like, oh, you know, I want to call you names. I want to tell you all kinds of things. But I also want to step back and, even if I still judge it on a personal level, I still want to try to understand it historically and think about where that's coming from. Maybe that's coming from what you were taught in your land of birth, which may not be the United States, but also where it's coming from in terms of our historical, meaning our American history and the ways anti-Blackness has been used since before we had a country.
Yeah, it seems like that like messiness and like what your character goes through in order to kind of like get a foothold, like the messiness is constantly being like shut down. Like you were saying earlier, like the character is a thinking character, like an observant character. And it seems like in the conversations with the host family in Jamaica, which Jamaica in this story is like a character in and of itself, like the history you were speaking to is like a character in and of itself, which is really interesting. But it seems like the messiness of like these conversations is just like constantly getting like shut down. But then earlier in the story, the characters were all like, we're so white. Like it's these instances and these moments of very glaring like simplification of very messy moment that we see the character kind of exploring and excavating while the rest of the world is kind of like, nope, like this is black and white.
Right.
And so just kind of speaking to that, like even the character's comment about, we don't need any more black men in literature. As much as you've kind of gone through your exploration and come to a place where you finally get a foothold and are at a place, somebody's like, we actually don't need you in this profession, you know? And then the whole conversation with Justin, and I thought there was going to be some kind of resolution, but then there's the whole messiness where the character actually ends up perpetuating some of the harm that they've been so diligent about describing. Right. Like, I think that just speaks to the relentlessness of it all. And I would just love if you could just expand on that a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought up Justin. It's like I wanted there to be someone, at least through Shalani's estimation. He's like, here's someone who looks exactly like me. Here's someone who's going to identify with what I'm going through and what I think of all of this. And, you know, I think he wants that. But in his way of trying to find finally that version of connection, it's like you said, he's perpetuating the same thing. But I also wanted to show Justin someone who's going to shut it down. He's like, no, absolutely not. I'm not participating. I don't care that you may think you look like me. No, I'm not going to participate in this question. And that's, you know, in a way, that's an alternate route that Trelawney could have taken, but didn't. And so I wanted to show that, you know, it's not my, in a way, it's like, because sometimes I get asked these questions as though, do you have a identity crisis that you're going through? It's like, you know, I want to show that, you know, clearly not everybody is grappling with these questions, no matter what their background is or what they look like, while some people might be. And this question of what are you, which is obviously it's problematic, it's jarring, but I thought it'd be useful in that it's not just about skin color, it's not just about race, it's not just about ethnicity, it's not just about nationality. It's like even his being an artist, which might be considered a version of his true self, is still not quite being accepted within this particular context. His career, you know, he's not the right kind of black man based on his career choice, according to these characters. And as much as all of this is being fictionalized, like I'm pulling a lot of this from experience, but you know, those are questions that I've been asked, like, what's the use to you personally, but also don't you have a greater responsibility to the black community to be wealth building in a way that maybe your art is never going to do for you, if do for us. I wanted to bring that in as well.
Jonathan, thank you so much for your story, as well as for sharing all these thoughtful perspectives with me and Sarai. One last question, only if you want to answer, which is, we hear that you're writing another book, and in fact, you're taking time away to talk to us. So if you want to, can you share a little bit about what you're working on?
I'll say, yeah, I am working on a novel. It's set back in Miami. It's going to take place mostly on Miami Beach, and it has a lot to do with what's going on with Florida politics right now. Sometimes I'm writing it and what I'm writing feels like the near future. And then a story comes out of Florida and it's like, no, this is now. And if I don't write fast enough, it'll be, someone will call it historical fiction, because, you know, it's just absolutely insane what's going on with what cannot be said in the classroom, whose books can't be taught. They're trying to destroy education. They want a dumber electorate. And they want a lot of other things, but it's both like the plays from history that we've seen, but it also feels dystopian because we are living through this. So It's just wild. But anyway, those are the themes I'm dealing with anyway.
Wow. I'm doing like a shoulder shake. That makes me so excited. Yeah. Just like speaking to the ways that there are all these different things that you can't even write fast enough and to like keep track of, like that really, I think like fits with the messiness of everything that we're dealing with and the messiness that your character deals with. Yeah, like Mark said, I just want to thank you so much for taking time out to chat with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to speak with both of you.
Thanks, Jonathan.
All right, take care.
I'd like to thank Mr. Scuffery yet again for saying yes to Article Club and for sharing his thoughts about his piece. Also, I'm very grateful to you all for listening, and I encourage you to join our discussion on Influx if you're interested. We're going to be meeting on Sunday, March 24th from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All you need to do to sign up is to go to highlighter.cc/discussion. Thank you, and hope you have a great weekend ahead.